Chapter 4. Everyone was careful to praise Aunt Charlotte's newest cooking creation, a strange veal and broccoli dish with an odd woody taste. Then they all went into the living room for coffee and cake. Darcy was relieved to see that the cake was from a bakery. That meant Aunt Charlotte had not baked it. "I'm concerned about the effect Mother's condition is having on your family, Maddie, especially on Darcy," Aunt Charlotte began. "Charlotte, what are you talking about?" Mom responded. Darcy could tell by her voice that she too was worried about what Charlotte had to say. "Maddie, I don't think having Mother at home is good for the girls, especially for Darcy," Aunt Charlotte went on. "It can't be easy on her or Jamie to have a working mother who's not around enough. It just doesn't seem fair that you're putting such a burden on your children." "But we're fine with Grandma," Darcy broke in quickly. "We have a nice neighbor who helps out when we need her, and everyone is doing fine. Grandma doesn't bother us, not at all."
"Yeah," Jamie chimed in. "I'm helping more with Grandma now, too. We work together most days."
Aunt Charlotte cast a pitying glance at the girls as if Darcy and Jamie were toddlers whose opinion did not count. "It's all very noble and everything, Maddie. Your girls have good hearts, but it can't be healthy for them to have a sick old woman there 24 hours a day."
"Charlotte, I don't know what has gotten into you, but Darcy and Jamie are fine. Mom is not that much trouble, and even if she was, what right do you have telling me how I should run my own house? You haven't volunteered to help with Mom."
Darcy could hear the anger and tightness in her mother's voice. Aunt Charlotte was unmoved.
"I'm your sister, Maddie. If you're making a mistake, I'm going to tell you. Right now, your girls are not being given the attention and the time they deserve. You have to work extra hours just to support Mother, and while you're out, the girls are forced to be babysitters and nurses because you want to keep Mother in your home. It's not fair to keep Mother so close to you."
Charlotte paused for a moment to look at everyone. For a second, Darcy thought her aunt sounded like a jealous young child.
"Mother should be in a nursing home," Charlotte continued. "She has no personal assets, so the state would pay for her care. It wouldn't be a burden on either of us. This way, your girls will be free to grow up without having to worry about her all the time."
Darcy could see that Aunt Charlotte's words hurt Mom. She knew that Mom often felt guilty for asking Darcy and Jamie to look after Grandma. In fact, a few months ago, her mother had even asked Darcy if taking care of Grandma was too much for her. Darcy assured her not to worry, but she could see by the sad look in her mother's eyes that Aunt Charlotte's words made the feeling come back. Darcy wanted to tell Aunt Charlotte that she was the meanest woman she ever met, that she would rather take care of Grandma than be the selfish woman that her aunt had become. But instead, Darcy said, "Aunt Charlotte, we love Grandma. We don't want to send her away to some nursing home where she wouldn't know anybody."
"Oh, come on," Aunt Charlotte scoffed. "She doesn't know anyone now. She's senile."
"She does too know us," Jamie piped up.
"Sometimes, anyway. She calls us by name if she's having a good day. I mean, if she was all alone among strangers, she'd call our names and nobody would come."
Aunt Charlotte turned to her sister again.
"Maddie, you're the adult in this situation. You can't let your kids make up your mind for you. Mother has lived her life, and there's no reason she can't be cared for adequately in a nursing home. She might even be happier there, in her more lucid moments. I understand they have special activities for people like her."
"Charlotte, this is our mother you're talking about. Why are you talking about her like she's something?" Mom yelled, tears welling in her eyes.
"Maddie, you're a nurse. You know how hard it is to care for people. Darcy and Jamie should not have to take care of Mother, keep her clean, feed her. Your children deserve more."
Charlotte's words seemed carefully selected to hurt her mother's feelings, Darcy thought. Charlotte leaned forward and took a deep breath as if she was preparing for a major announcement.
"Which brings me to the real reason I need to talk to you all. This summer, I'll be vacationing in France for a month, and I would be delighted to have you along, Darcy. I think it would be the experience of your life. It would help you see there's more to life than Bluford High School, your grandmother, and your rundown neighborhood."
Darcy was shocked. "France?" she gasped.
The farthest from her home she had ever been was San Francisco, only a few hundred miles away. Aunt Charlotte started to smile, wrinkling the perfect skin around her eyes. It was like watching a mass crumble a little.
Yes, France. Doesn't it just thrill you? The French Riviera, chateaus, seeing Paris, and climbing the Eiffel Tower.
It's really great for you to ask me, Darcy stammered. Aunt Charlotte turned to Jamie.
And don't you feel bad, Jamie.
I'll be asking you too when you're 16 years old and learn to show some respect.
I'd never go to France with you, Aunt Charlotte, Jamie said angrily.
Never.
Jamie, don't you talk to your aunt like that, Mom warned.
We'll see how you feel later, Jamie, Charlotte purred. After Darcy comes home with stories of places you can't even dream of, you'll change your mind.
So, Maddie, if you could get Mother settled in the nursing home during the next few months, Darcy and I could be ready to leave by the beginning of summer.
Aunt Charlotte, Darcy said quickly, thanks a lot for asking me, but I don't want to go.
You mean because of the burdens of home? Aunt Charlotte demanded.
Mom broke in.
Darcy, if you really want to go, we could get a home health care nurse for Mama. You could go on the trip.
No, I really don't want to go, Darcy repeated.
Aunt Charlotte glared at Mom.
You see, Maddie, do you see how this life has affected your daughter? Now she doesn't even want to take the opportunity of a lifetime. How much longer can you sacrifice your children by turning your home into a hospital?
That's enough, Charlotte, Mom said with fury in her voice.
Don't talk about Grandma like that, Jamie yelled.
Man, I'm never coming back to this place.
Aunt Charlotte gave Jamie an icy look.
I'm sorry to say, young lady, I doubt very much you'll ever get an invitation from me to go to Europe.
She turned to Darcy then. You don't have to decide right away. Just think about it.
Mom stood up to leave. Darcy quietly followed her. She was eager to get out of the townhouse and her aunt's presence.
I will. Thank you, Aunt Charlotte. It was really nice of you to ask me on the trip.
When Darcy, Jamie, and their mother were on the way home, Mom said,
Darcy, you know, that would be a wonderful opportunity for you.
I'm not going, Darcy said flatly.
I know Charlotte seems cold and heartless sometimes, Mom said, but I hope I haven't been putting the burden of Mama on you girls too much. That wouldn't be fair.
No, Jamie cried. I want to take care of Grandma.
Me too, Darcy said. When we were little, she was always there for us.
Mom stopped for a red light, then glanced at her daughters.
But it can't be easy having to rush home from school every day.
Mom, Darcy groaned, aren't you always telling us that life isn't supposed to be easy? I mean, aren't you always saying hard stuff is what makes us grow? Haven't you said that 1,000 times?
Mom smiled.
I guess that's the trouble with telling your kids stuff. Sometimes they remember it and toss it back at you.
But just remember this, Darcy. If you want to take that trip this summer, you can get it done without Grandma going away. We'll find a way to take care of Grandma.
I know, Darcy said. But, Mom, I wouldn't enjoy going on a trip with Aunt Charlotte.
Later, when they were almost home, Darcy asked her mother,
We'll never put Grandma in a nursing home, will we?
I mean, that'd be like sending her away because we don't love her anymore.
Baby, Mom said heavily, I don't want to do that. But you know, it could happen.
If she got so sick that we couldn't take care of her anymore, what choice would we have?
Darcy closed her eyes, her throat tightening.
She remembered last summer when she used to volunteer a few days a week at a nursing home. The patients sat in wheelchairs or moved slowly in walkers. They seemed to always be searching for familiar faces. A frail old lady had asked Darcy if she had seen her daughter.
My daughter is coming today to take me home, she had said in a trembling voice.
The nurse's aide had smiled and whispered to Darcy that the daughter lived in another state and would certainly never take her mother home. Other elderly people had called out names of people they half remembered. Darcy could not bear for Grandma to be in such a place, calling in vain for her loved ones. It would be like in that song Hakim wrote, "Will you hear me if I cry? Will you come before I die?" When they got home, Darcy went straight into Grandma's room. She found her sitting in a chair by the window. Miss Harris was next to her and smiled when Darcy came in. "I'm home, Grandma. Are you hungry?" Darcy asked. "Your grandma just finished her dinner," Miss Harris said as she got up to leave. "She's been talking about you all night, Darcy. She calls you Angel Cake." Darcy thanked Miss Harris before she left and then sat down next to her grandmother. "I love you, Grandma," she said. Grandma smiled and then said, "I think I'll make a nice picnic basket and we can go to the mountains on Sunday. We went to the mountains last Sunday and we had a nice time, didn't we? Carl was so funny. He was telling stories, don't you know? Your daddy can be such a funny one," Grandma said. "Yes, Grandma," Darcy said, taking Grandma's tiny, veined hand and pressing it to her cheek. Tara Carson was turning 16 on the following Saturday, and she decided to invite all her friends to a party at a nearby bayfront park. "We can roast hot dogs, and my mom says she'll make her famous potato salad and even fry up some chicken. We'll throw on some CDs. Hakim can play his guitar and sing. It'll be great," Tara declared. "Yeah," Darcy agreed. "Sounds like it'll be loads of fun. Hey, you're not inviting Brisana, are you?" "Girl, I'm nice, but I ain't no fool. This party is for my friends, remember? Last I checked, Brisana don't fall nowhere near that category." Darcy looked more closely at Tara. She couldn't be sure, but it looked like Tara had lost weight. "Tara, you dieting or something? You look thinner." A big smile spread over Tara's face. "Girl, don't you bother giving me no birthday present. You hear what I'm saying? You just gave me the best present a girl could get. I lost 5 pounds and I didn't think anybody would notice. You better believe I've been passing up fries and chips and everything else that's good." All week, Tara invited people to her party. She asked 2 dozen kids from her classes, a few of her cousins, and friends from the neighborhood youth center. It looked as if it was going to be a good mix of girls and boys. Everything went well until Wednesday when Shanetta Green confronted Tara during phys ed. "Hey, girl," she said. "How come you ain't invited nobody from 43rd Street to your party?" "Got nothing to do with no street," Tara snapped. "We don't want trouble. You hear what I'm saying? It's gonna be a nice party with good food, good music, no fighting, no booze. You get my meaning?" Shanetta glared at Tara. "Girl, I don't know what you talking about. You must be crazy or something. I seen you with Londell James and Bobby Wallace, Shanetta. You the one must be crazy messing with them," Tara said. "They ain't nothing but trouble." "Girl, you need to get your eyes checked," Shanetta said. "I ain't hung around with them for months." "Well, ain't that something?" Tara laughed. "I seen Londell's twin brother with you at the dollar store last night. And that's real strange, 'cause he ain't got no twin brother." Shanetta rolled her eyes, turned, and stumped off. "Londell James stole money out of my purse in middle school," Darcy said. "We were all scared of him." "You told on him, didn't you?" Tara asked. "No," Darcy admitted. "Like I said, we were all scared. That boy is real trouble." "I know," Darcy said. "Word on the street is that he's hanging out with a bad bunch, and they got guns," Tara said grimly. After English class, Darcy spotted Roiland Bailey standing in front of the door to the library. He often loitered there so he could tease the other kids. Lately, Hakim was his favorite target. The two girls walked in Roiland's direction, and the boy immediately put on a mocking smile. "Hakim here yet?" he asked. "Boy, can't you find something better to do than make a fool of yourself?" Darcy snapped.
"I'm coming to the party Saturday," Roiland announced.
"You ain't invited," Tara retorted.
"It's a public place," Roiland challenged. "You can't keep me away."
"You won't get nothing to eat, boy, so you might as well stay home," Tara said.
"But I can spoil your party, can't I?" Roiland laughed.
Darcy and Tara had not seen Hakeem walk up until he confronted Roiland.
Listen up, man. You get in my face, and I'm gonna change the way your face is arranged. You hear me?
You don't scare me, retard, Roiland said.
Hakeem took a step towards Roiland, his arms swinging. Darcy had never seen so much rage in his face.
Here comes Kenan, somebody yelled.
The tall teacher came around the corner carrying his briefcase.
The bell for the next class has rung. All you tough guys can either get in the classroom and sit down, or go to the office, Mr. Kenan barked.